Zion on the base. So I think when we were rudely interrupted yesterday, we were in the middle of Tosfos. Have a look at the fourth Tosfos. Elu ve'elu pturin min ha'tfilah. We said all of those at the Levaya, both those who have carried the mitzvah already and also those who are about to, they are all exempt from tefillah. What was the difference between tefillah and other mitzvahs? So Rashi pointed out the initial list of mitzvahs are Do'iraisa, Kriya Shema, tefillin, etc. Whereas opposed to tefillah is not Do'iraisa, says Tosfos. Elu ve'elu pturim in ha'tefillah. Avol be'kriya Shema. Morning, Rabbi Yoel David, Rabbi Yoel David, happy anniversary.
Excuse me?
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much.
Today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. No. Okay, the balloons look good. Says Tosfos. Elu ve'elu peturim in ha'tefillah. Avol. Be'kriya Shema u'betfilin. When, however, it comes to Kriya Shema and Tefillin, Shehein Mido'iraisa, so then we cannot give a general exemption. Chayovim, then those who are not involved in actually carrying the mitzvah would be obligated. And we can only exempt those who are really torud in the mitzvah, who indeed are torud, those who are about to carry the mitzvah. V'reisha deka'oma. And in the Reisha where it says Mishem Meisoy Muta Lefonov De Potur Min HaKriya Shema Umin HaTfilin, in the Reisha when it talks about those Mishem Meisoy Muta Lefonov, remember we had two parts to the Mishnah. Part number one is when it's the Meisoy Muta Lefonov, the dead body's actually lying there. The second part, and I think Nachum asked this yesterday, the second part of the Mishnah is talking about when the mace is not lying there, as it were, but you're at the Levaya. And it was there that we distinguish between those who are about to carry the mitzvah and those who have already done so. But in the Reisha, when we speak about Meisoy Muta Lefonov, and the Mishnah said that he's exempt from Kriya Shema, etc., says Tosfos, V'Reisha Dekoma Misha Meisoy Muta Lefonov, the potum in Kriya Shema min atfilin, kol shekein, obviously, even more so, the potum in atfilah. Obviously, if meisoy mutalafonov, you're exempt from mitzvahs da'iraisa, then all the more so, you're exempt from mitzvahs da'rabonon. Elo loy boi lemisni bereisha, but it was not necessary to state in the Risha, Elo achilok shebein noisei hamitah lemeisoi muta lefonov. So in the beginning, we're not making a distinction. The same halachas that apply to the meisoi muta lefonov applies to those who are about to carry the mitah. But those who have already carried the mitah, that's when we say that no, there's a difference to be made, and that is, he can be exempt from the rabbonons, i.e. tefillah, but he'll be obligated in da'iraisus. So now let's continue with the Mishnah. On the fourth line of the Mishnah says, Kavru es hameis, if they have now already buried. So we're going stage by stage. This is now the third stage. Stage one was the dead body is lying there in his home. Stage two was the levaya. Stage three is following the kavura. Kavru es hameis, if they have already buried the dead. The chozru, and now they have come back. So the question is, are they still exempt from mitzvahs? So it depends. Im yecholim lahaschil v'ligmor, if he is able to both begin and end, for example, his Kriya Shema. Until such point that the Shura has not yet begun. As we know, if ever who had to be unfortunately at a levaya. Following the kavura, there is the halacha of the shura. What is that halacha of the shura, the line of people? So Rashi tells us, it's the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Le shura shayu menachamin esa ovel. They would comfort the ovel, the hekev shura, by surrounding him with a line, or actually two lines, svivoisov, around the ovel on either side, b'shuvam, as they returned, min hakeva. So, the burial has taken place. You're now back, as it were, in the beginning of the Beis HaKvaros. Are you now, should you now say Kriya Shema? So 1 second, the job is not yet done. There is still one further mitzvah. What is that mitzvah? The mitzvah of the Shura. So if you're able to say Kriya Shema, begin it and end it in time for the Shura to arrive, then you should do so. But if not, then not.
How are we defining Kriya Shema? First sentence, first paragraph?
Good Shaila. We've seen elsewhere. Good Shaila. Okay, we'll have to look in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't have one in front of me in Ayin Beis. Simis Hashem, we will look this up. So, Im Yacholim Lahaschil Veligmoir Ad Shelo Yagiyu L'Shura. So, if you're able to begin and end before the Shura is formed, then Yaschilu, then you should do so. But Im Lav Loi Yaschilu. Now, 1 second. Does this apply to absolutely everybody in the Shura or only some of them? Says the Mishnah, it indeed depends. Ha'oim dim b'shura ha'pnimim. Those who are standing in the line on the innermost part. So if you can imagine, you have a shura, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 people thick. So the one who are there, the inside of the shura, such that when the oval walks past, he will see him. He's not going to see the person who's standing 3 behind him. So ha'oim dim b'shura ha'pnimim, those who are standing on the innermost side of the shura, paturim, they are exempt, v'hachitzoinim chayovim, but the outer ones are indeed chayovim. Why? Because those standing on the outside are not really technically involved in the mitzvah, because the oval is not going to see them anyway. So you cannot say that they are being oisik the mitzvah in any way.
Rav, we understood that the mission was, we understood that the mission, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, my wife is working in the background, so.
No problem.
But anyway, we understood that the mission was originally talking about those people who were involved in Levaya. People who are carrying the beer, etc., etc. Those people are the ones who if they couldn't start and finish, they weren't obligated. But and then the third group of people, the next group of people, those who formed the rows. The Rav seems to be implying it's the same group of people.
Yeah, it could well be the same group of people. Those who carried the mitzvah took the mitzvah all the way to the kavura.
Right.
Now, there's a few people who are involved in the kavura. Obviously, not everybody is involved in the kavura. Meanwhile, everybody goes back. And now, when the Avelim come back to the entrance of the Beis HaKvaros, there's a whole group awaiting those who were initially involved in carrying the mitzvah. The question is, they're not yet completed their job because they have the mitzvah of the Shura. And that's the distinction between those on the inside and the outside. And do you have time to start and finish the whole of Kriya Shema?
Thank you.
The last line of the Mishnah, which according to our edition goes into parentheses, because essentially it's a Mishnah later on. Noshim v'avodim v'ketanim, this is a whole different subject. Women and slaves and minors, pturim min ha-kriya shema u-min ha-tfilin, v'chayovin b'tfilo u-b'mezuzah u-b'birkas ha-mozim. So that's a whole big discussion in its own right. Be'ezas Hashem, we will reach this, but it'll be quite a while until we do so. So meanwhile, let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Mutal lefonov in v'she'enoi mutal lefonov loy. So the Gemara is making a diuk. If the Mishnah said that this exemption applies to those, if the mace is mutal lefonov, so if you translate mutal lefonov literally, it definitely sounds like the dead body is actually lying there in front of him. So we have every right to make the diuk of the Gemara. Mutal lefonov, quote unquote, in. That's when this halacha would apply. The she'enai mutal lefonov. But if the dead body is actually not physically lying in front of him, then loy, then there will be no exemption. V'raminu, we have a long, lengthy brisa from which we're going to ask a stira. So let's go through the entire brisa together, and then we'll work out which particular part of the brisa is posing a question to us. V'raminu, we have a brisa and it says as follows. Let's take this slowly. Mi shemesoi mutal lefonov. Again, if the dead body is lying in front of him, oichol babayis acher. One should not eat in the presence of a dead body. Why not? Says the Rashi. She'enoi mutal lefonov. What's the distinction we're making between mutal and enoi mutal? Enoi mutal lefonov means, says Rashi, k'goin hu bebayis echod v'hameis bebayis acher. He is in one home or one room, and the mace is in a different one completely. That's what it means. Ein mace mutal lefonov. If indeed the mace is mutal lefonov, then indeed you should not be eating. Why should you not be eating in front of them? Says Rashi, denire, because it appears kaloyeg lerosh. Loyeg lerosh is a posuk, but it's a halachic principle. You're mocking the poor. What does that mean, you're mocking the poor? If somebody is poor, then the last thing you should be doing is to be flaunting your wealth in front of them. It's bad enough that this person is poor, but he doesn't have to suffer you mocking him by flaunting your wealth in front of him. A dead person cannot be mekayim mitzvahs. A dead person cannot eat. So to do so in front of the dead body is, as it were, mocking the dead body, which is, by the way, the reason that if you ever go to the Beis HaKvaros, you're supposed to tuck in your tzitzis. If your tzitzis are normally hanging out, you should tuck them in. Why? Because otherwise, again, it's lo yeig l'rosh. It's, as it were, mocking the dead body, the people, those who are buried there. You cannot be mekayim mitzvahs. We can. And therefore, it's like a zilzul dishonor to those there. So too, with regard to eating. To eat in front of the dead body is considered mocking. It's not considered covered hamis.
If you're in the Mishnah and your tzitzit are covered by your coat, is that
enough? Fine. Yeah, that's fine.
The whole Mishnah we're talking about saying Krishma in a Beis HaKvaros.
The issue of Loeg Larosh does not mean that you shouldn't be Mekayim Mitzvahs at all. We're obviously not going to give somebody an exemption from the entire mitzvah of Kriya Shema just based on the issue of Loeg Larosh. Rather, we say, don't do it lechatchila if there's an alternative. So in the case of eating, if the mace is there, so we say, better not to eat there, eat in a different room. We're not going to tell the guy to starve. Certainly not with a mitzvah. We don't tell somebody to take off his tzitzis. We just say, cover them up. But Loeg Larosh is not such a powerful principle that you're going to be mevatel a mitzvah as a result of it.
Not mevatel, but we can say leave the Beis HaKvaros the same way we're saying leave the
poor. Right? Yeah, but he's oisik mitzvah. At the moment he's oisik mitzvah, so he's potter. But if he's there, let's say you're right, if in theory he could leave and say Shema, then of course, matov malon, that's certainly the best, quite right. There is a fascinating discussion, for example, imagine you're at a levaya. Are you allowed to talk to your friend, to your neighbor standing at the levaya, divrei Torah. Imagine you go to levaya and there's spedim and going on for hours. Are you allowed to talk to the person next to you in divrei Torah? Whole big discussion. Perhaps not. Lo yegla rosh. Either way, we're not talking about that. We're talking about eating. So with regard to eating, it's considered to be a lack of dignity for the mace to be eating in front of him. And therefore, back into the braisa. Misha mesei mutalafonov oichel babayis acher. You should eat in a different house. Ve'im ein loy bayis acher. And what happens if you don't have another bias, you don't have that alternative possibility, then oichel bebayis chaveiroi, then you should go to your friend's home. If you don't have a second home or a second room yourself, then you should go to your friend's.
It isn't, when they're referring to the word bias initially, it seems to be talking about another room. But when we're saying bias chavero, it's obviously mean a different location altogether.
Yeah, it can mean either. It can mean either. You're quite right. The word bias very often, aloha, just means room. So if you've got a different room, you may eat. But if you don't have a room, you live in a one-room apartment, then you should go to your friend's apartment. So what happens if you don't have that arrangement either? If it's just simply not possible, is there but nobody else available to go and eat in his house or his room, then oisa mechitza v'oichol, then you should erect a mechitza. If you put up a mechitza that divides the room into two, such that when you eat, even though technically the mace is in the same room as you, but halachically it's not, because he's on the other side of the mechitza. Ve'im ein loy dovor lasois mechitza. And what happens if that is not possible either? You don't have any material with which to make a mechitza. Then at least machzir ponov v'oichol. Then at least turn around. At least turn around and eat. So initially in a different home. If not in your friend's home. If not, put up a mechitza. And if not, at least turn around and don't eat facing the mace. Ve'enoi meisev v'oichol. Neither should you lean. Remember in those days, how did they eat? As we know from Chazal, from the Seder night, they didn't sit up on a chair like we do. They inclined on a couch. Says Rashi, enoi meisev kederech hamasubin b'chashivus. Like they would normally lean, incline, recline. B'chashivas, in a prominent way, al tzidoy on their sides, ha-smolis u'b'mita. They used to recline on their left side, as we well know from drinking the four cups on Seder night, on some sort of bed. That's considered too luxurious, too comfortable. That's why we lean on Pesach night. It's like Derech Malchus. That's not appropriate to be living it up in luxurious, stylish way in front of a mace, even if you've got your back turned to him. Furthermore, on the bottom line, ve'enoi oichol bosar ve'enoi sheise yayin. It's a very important halacha. Some people don't know this halacha. An ovel during the shiva is allowed to drink wine and eat bosar. But whilst he's an oinein, then not. When meisoi mutar afonov, then even though he doesn't have to fast, he's allowed to eat, as we've just seen, but he's allowed to have bosar ve'yayin. And he does not make brachas. As we know, an oinin does not make brachas. And neither does he make birkas amozim. Now have a look at the bottom two Rashis. Very, very, very big chidushim in Rashi, which Tosus will discuss at length. We'll see that next week in Mitzvah Hashem. Ve'enoi mevorech, says Rashi, ve'enoi tzorech levorech. We would have translated it, ve'enoi levorech means, and he must not make a bracha. Rashi says, no, not that he must not, but he does not need to make a bracha, with the obvious implication in Rashi being that if he wants to, he may. Rashi says, ve'enoi tzorech levorech birkas amoitzi. And then again in the next Rashi again, Ve'ena mezamein eino tzarech levarech birkas hamozein. So Rashi says twice those critical words, not eino mevarech, but rather eino tzarech levarech. So it would clearly seem to be, and this is Rashi's world famous opinion, that an oinim who is exempt from mitzvahs, it doesn't mean there's a prohibition in fulfilling the mitzvahs, it just means there's an exemption. But if you prefer not to exercise your exemption, you can if you want. Tosfos will disagree, and we'll see Be'ezus Hashem and Shulchan Aruch how we paskin.
Is this just mevarech meaning benching, or is this all the mitzvos we're talking about?
For Rashi said so far, hamotzi and berkas hamozim. Hamotzi and berkas hamozim. With regard to other mitzvos, let's keep moving. Let's keep going. The Baisa will discuss this now. Going to the top of the Amud. Ve'ein mevarechin olav. Ve'ein mezamnin olav. Not only does he not make a bracha, either prior or post-eating, but nor does anybody need to make a bracha on his behalf to be mitzi him. Says Rashi, ve'ein mevarechin olav. Ein tzarech, again, ein tzarech shi'evaruchu lo yacherim beberkas alechem. We don't require anybody to say a bracha of hamotzi on his behalf. Ve'ein mezamnin olav, ein mitztaref im shloisha lezimun. He cannot join forces, be part of a threesome for a zimun. He's out of the picture. Okay. Now comes your shaila of Nachum, upotor mekriya shema, umin hatfilo, umin hatfilin, umikol mitzvois uamurois batoiro. An oinim is exempt from all mitzvahs. Okay. Uba Shabbos is different. If this person passed away on Shabbos, so we know there is no avelus on Shabbos. And if there's no avelus on Shabbos, may save, he is allowed to recline. The oichel basar v'shoise yayin. Then he does eat basar, he does drink wine. Umavarech, umazamein, umavarchin olav, umazamnin olav. He can make brachas, he can have other people making brachas on his behalf. It's as it were, basically, a normal day in the office, or at least a normal Shabbos in the office, which you shouldn't be in the office.
When it says, Chol mitzvah amuras b'Torah, are we only talking about those that are Raisa? Or are we including the Rabbanan as well?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, big shaila, what happens on Hanukkah? Imagine if tomorrow night, Rahmana Litzlan, somebody passes away, and the child, the son, or the wife, or whatever it is, hasn't yet lit Hanukkah candles. So according to what we're learning, an oinin is exempt. And if he's exempt from mitzvahs d'oraisa, then I would expect certainly he should be exempt from mitzvahs d'rabbanan. Which is a whole discussion, what do you do? What do you do with Sefira Saima? If he doesn't count Sefira Saima, he might well have lost the whole 49 days. Each mitzvah has to be discussed in its own right. Of course, Bedikas Chometz is a big balagan. V'chuli, v'chuli. Either way, on a regular weekday, he's exempt. On Shabbos, it's a normal Shabbos. So again, what happens on Shabbos? He eats basar, he drinks wine, he can recline, he does all the mitzvahs. V'chayev, v'chola mitzvahs, v'amurez b'tayra. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer mitoich shenischayev be'elu nischayev be'kulon. If he is obligated in these mitzvahs, which mitzvahs? Brachos and tefillah, not tefillin, there's no tefillin on Shema. Then ischayev be'kulon, then he's obligated in everything. Now what is he adding to the Tanakhama? I mean, the Tanakhama already told you that on Shabbos, you're chayv in all the mitzvahs. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan added and he explained, my binayhu, what's the difference between a Tana Kama who also said you're chayv in all mitzvahs and then Rav Shimon Gamliel who says you're chayv in all mitzvahs? Doesn't sound like a machloikas. Says the Gemara, tashmish amito ike binayhu. if somebody's an Avelos, is he mutter to have relations with his wife at that time? That's the difference. Normally, it's obviously Osa, but what about on Shabbos? So we have a principle of Avelos Betzino. Those activities that are done in private, there might well be a chiyuv of Avelos. Says Rashi, Tashmish Amito Ikebeinayu, Lereb Shimon Chayev, Ovel, the Ovel is Chayev Ba'oino in his relations, B'Shabbos. Meaning, the Tanakhama said, on Shabbos, indeed, yes, you're Chayev to Daven, you're Chayev in the mitzvahs, you're Chayev on brachas, you're Chayev on Berkas Amazing, but Tashmish Amito not. Why? Because that's something which is done in private. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, when he's stressing Yochayv in every mitzvah, so Rabbi Yochanan is explaining that he's coming to include Tashmish HaMitzvah. By the way, this is very Negei Halacha L'Maisa. What's the Halacha when Tisha B'Av is Chal on Shabbos, as it very often is? So we know that Tisha B'Av is Chal on Shabbos. Basically, it's a normal Shabbos. There's no Halachas of Avelos. The question is, what about Tashmish Amita, for example, on that Friday night? The Shulchan Aruch says 100% permissible, but the Ramah says no. Because even though there's no Avelus on Shabbos, that's only with regard to those activities that are normally done in public, like davening and benching. The Tashmish Amita, which is done in private, there the halachas of Avelus do apply. So as we're seeing over here, basically it's a machlokes tanoim.
I was always under the impression during Shiva, not including Shabbos, that one did not have meat or wine.
Boss, no, during the Shiva, it's totally permissible. During the entire Shiva, boss of the yayin is mutter, except when the person is an oini, which, by the way, will help us understand the gravity of the 9 days before Tisha B'Av.
Yes, during the 9 days we don't have meat or wine.
During the 9 days that we do not have bosa v'yayin. So we now understand that basically during the 9 days, we are not just considered to be, as it were, avelim during the Shiva, rather in aninus. That's how severe it is. That's how severe it is. If you're not allowed to have bosa v'yayin, then clearly the comparison is to somebody who Rachmana Litzlan is an oini.
Because I'm saying
basar, are we saying specifically basar? What about off?
What's the lafa basar oif? You're right. Normally basar means basar behema. I'm not sure whether it applies to basar oif. La halacha during the 9 days, basar oif is also asa. Okay. So that is the end of a very lengthy braisa. Now, what's that got to do with what we began with? The Mishnah said that Misha Mesoi Mutter Lefanov, if the dead body is lying in front of him, then he is potter from mitzvahs. The Gemara made a diuk, which was, it sounds like only if the dead body is lying in front of him, but if not, then he'll be chayav in mitzvahs. Now we see the question, says the Gemara. Ketani mias, we have at least stated in this braisa, potur mi kriya shema, umin hatfila, umin hatfilin, umikol mitzvahs u'amurais batoira. Remember how this braisa began? The braisa began by saying, don't eat in the same home as the dead body. Rather, you should go to somebody else's home. If you can't, then you turn your face around. But then it says, and he's exempt from all mitzvahs. Now, which case is that referring to? L'chayr, it's referring to all cases, even if he's moved to his friend's home. So even if he's moved to his friend's home, the Gemara is still telling you that he's exempt from all the mitzvahs. So how does that fit in with our Mishnah? It seems to say that you're only exempt from mitzvahs if it's mesoi mutal lefanov. That's the stira. Says Rashi on the third line, katoni mihas, we have at least been taught in the braisa that potam mikriya shumami kol habrocha, says Rashi, five words. Va'afilu Kishu oichal bebeis chaveiroi. The chayra means even if you have moved to your friend's home, which the brisa says you're supposed to, the chayra part two of that brisa was referring to that case as well, and you're still exempt, even though it's not meisai mutal lefanov. So we have a stira between the Mishnah and the brisa. The Mishnah seems to teach us you're only exempt from mitzvahs if the dead body is lying there. And yet in the brisa, it seems to say that even if you've moved to your friend's home, you're also exempt from mitzvahs, even though the dead body is not lying there. Stira. Omer of Papa, Sir of Papa says, Tirgamo. You've got to translate Amachzir Ponov V'oichol. It's only referring to the second case of when you are in the same room, you've just turned around. But you're quite right. According to Rav Papa, if indeed you move to your friend's home and you are not now in front of the mace, then you're not exempt from mitzvahs. You're only exempt if you're right there. Why does the brisa tell me you're exempt from mitzvahs? That's only referring to the case of when you're in the same room, you just turned around, says Rashi. Tirgama laha d'toni potur, that which it says is you're exempt, is referring to ami she'ein loy bayis acher. It's referring to the case where you do not have another home you can go to, the comma, which we said, machzir ponov v'oichal. Then you should stay in the same room, but you should just turn around. Ah, so if you turn around, at the end of the day, you are in the same room. So that's why you're exempt. That's the first teretz. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi disagrees. This is very, very important. Kiven shem mutal olav l'koivrayi. Because it is incumbent on him. He is obligated to bury his dead. Kamutal lefonov domi. It is as if the dead body is in front of him. Shenema vayokom Avraham al pnei meisai venema veekbra meisai milafonai. Kol zman shemutal olav lekoivroi. As long as he is obligated to bury the dead. Kamutal lefonov domi. So Rashi disagrees. Rav Ashi says, as far as I'm concerned, the question is a non-starter. When we say Meisoi Muta Lefonov, we don't mean that literally, geographically, the dead body is lying in front of you. Meisoi Muta Lefonov means the obligation is Muta Lefonov, not the dead body. The obligation to bury him is Muta Lefonov. So whether you are in the same room or a different room or your friend's home, it makes no difference. There is a general halacha, an oinein, who's obligated to bury the dead, is exempt from mitzvahs. Whether you are mutar lefonov in a physical and geographical way is totally irrelevant. Says Rashi, Rav Ashi Omar la'olam, really, akula umasnisin nami. Afilu b'bayis acher nami potarli. Really, even if you've moved to another bayis, you are indeed still exempt from mitzvahs. It says meisai mutal lefonov. Don't worry. The kol shemutal olav lekoivrai. If it is incumbent on you to bury him, kori, we call that mutal lefonov, quote unquote. So it turns out in summary, we have a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Ashi. Rav Papa learns that the exemption for an oinein really only applies if you are literally next to the mace in the same room, either facing him or turning around, but you're in the same room. Whereas Rav Ashi disagrees, and Rav Ashi says, no. It doesn't depend on the geographical location of the mace. It depends on the chiyuv to bury him. If there is an obligation to bury, then you are classified an oinein. By the way, this presents a very, very, very complicated halachic discussion. what happens if there is an obligation to bury, but that obligation has nothing to do with you. So for example, imagine somebody receives the very sad news that his relative died in America. So he hops onto an airplane and he's now flying to the United States for the levaya. Now, the mace is not in front of him. The mace is in America, he's on an airplane. But according to Rav Ashi, as long as there's an obligation to be koiver, he is an oinin. But this person has no involvement whatsoever in the levaya arrangements. It's being taken care of by either the Chevra Kadisha or by the family in America, and he has nothing to do while sitting on an airplane. Would he still have the exemption of an oinin? Very, very important shaila. He's going to presumably eat something in a 10-hour flight from Eretz Yisrael to America. Does he make a bracha or does he not make a bracha? Does he daven? Does he not daven? Does he say Kriya Shema? Does he not say Kriya Shema? Very complicated shailas, some of which we'll see later on in the Gemara. Mitzvah Hashem, they should all be halacha, v'loy l'maisa, and we should only hear besuras tevis, and we'll reconvene hopefully on Sunday morning. In the meanwhile, wish everybody a happy Hanukkah.
And a good Shabbos.
Yeah.
And a good Shabbos. Parsha Shif, if anybody's interested, Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow night.
Okay. Koach.
Call to
yeah.
Thank you. All right.